Our reading from the Word of God is found in the familiar and beautiful words of Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The text that God gives to us this morning is in that fourth verse, Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless our reading of His Word. And though so very familiar, may He still speak to us. The fourth verse is our text. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's sheep, that's what we are. He's the shepherd, and we're the sheep. And it is His wisdom that the sheep will walk through dark valleys. And those dark valleys occasion fear. In spite of the reality of those things which occasion fear, and what time I am afraid, the Good Shepherd and the knowledge of our Good Shepherd is a powerful assurance to us, His sheep, of just that simple and so profound truth that He is near. And that's all we need. He is near. He is with us. Even and especially when His presence is experienced with His rod and staff, He is near. It's His rod and His staff. They comfort me. So we take our examination of this passage of God's Word, and we just take that theme, though I walk through the valley. We consider what that valley is. Why is it that we say, I fear no evil? What's there about that valley that seems evil? Secondly, we'll consider why God tells us, and why the shepherd, or the sheep, this sheep, us as His sheep, may say, though it's a valley, and there's reason from an external viewpoint to be afraid, we will not fear. Why do we not need to fear? And finally, we'll consider the presence of that rod and staff. So we'll take it just as it goes and as it's presented to us. there's a valley. We're taught that often sheep have to be moved from one pasture to another. Apart from it being winter and snow covering the ground, cattle, horses can stay in the same pasture year-round. But sheep have to be moved from one pasture to another. And especially in the land around Israel, where pasturage was not like we see it around here, full of grass, but separated tufts of grass. And you'd have to move the sheep because with their smaller mouths, they would get so low into that grass that they would be able to kill it. So you had to keep moving them so that they wouldn't get so low in their eating of that grass that they would prevent it from being able to grow again. So the sheep would often have to be moved, and twice a year they would go from low pastures to high pastures and then back again. High pastures being on plateaus that would be high in the hills. But the best way to go to take a flock of sheep from the low pasture to the high or the high to the low would be through a valley. You didn't want them climbing the cliffs. That would be impossible. You'd have to take them in the easiest and the best way, and that would be to follow the riverbed and the valley that which that river flowed. There they would find pasturage. There they would find grass, moisture created by the presence of the river. There they would find waters so they could drink. But at the same time, because it's a valley and it has the hills or cliffs and mountains along the sides of it, there would be much shadow. It wouldn't take much for the sun to be behind one of the hills and creating shadows. And especially at night when the moon would be out, but it would be behind a hill, the dark shadows would be very dark and very deep. And in those shadows would be predators. So though it's the best way up to the pasturage or back down to it, it would not be fearless. It would be frightening. Just as frightening as it is for some of you kids to have mother or father shut the lights off and close the doors, and it would be suddenly very dark in your room. So the shadows of the valley would be reason to be afraid. The psalmist speaks of a spiritual reality, and that spiritual reality identifies the cause of the shadows in the lives of God's people to be death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death is the wall that causes the shadows to fall on those walking through the valleys. Death, remember Romans 6, verse 23, is the wages earned by sin. My sin makes the presence of the reality of death. And because of our sin and sinfulness always being there, always. And the more spiritually sensitive we are to God, the more we see sin and therefore death. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about that fact. That's why the Lord powerfully teaches us and reminds us this is real. This is really what life through this world is all about. Maybe this would help us, this knowledge would help us understand why Moses in Psalm 90 describes the life of the child of God this way. He says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Then he adds quickly this, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. Listen, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Why? Listen, we are consumed in thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet the strength of those 80 years is labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We build something, and it can be easily crashed, burned, or stolen. And even the best never lasts forever and often has to be replaced. We have evil. The presence of evil can be the evil one. He is like a roaring lion, lurking constantly, seeking whom he may devour. His strength is far greater than ours. We can't stand before that evil one. Evil can also be the allurements that attract us, and none of us are exempt. None of us can constantly stiff arm all the evils that allure. And the power of our old man, far greater than those allurements, just loves the things of this earth. But if we step back and we look at this life and our life in the presence of God's holiness and his eternity, then our life is so small and consumed. Why not? Given that all we do is sinful. We never want to admit it. If somebody wants to point out our sins, we become extremely defensive. But all of a sudden, when we sit here and we stand before that holy presence of God that goes into the secret sins that nobody else knows, and we weep, my sins I confess. And if I am, and that's not an if in the sense that maybe I'm not, because I am a sinner, the chief, why would I not be afraid? Afraid that holiness
afraid to die. Because that's when that holiness will visit me. There is reason, apart from the presence of the shepherd, to be afraid. Every predator is capable of getting us sheep. And we sheep are so sinful that we have absolutely no defenses. None. We don't have a shell. We don't have a prickly hide. We don't have a thick skin. We don't have horns. We don't know how to use our hooves to protect ourselves. We can't protect ourselves. We're sheep. Helpless before any predator. And especially sin. It's an enemy. That shadow caused by death, it's the last enemy, but it's an enemy. And it's called the last enemy in part because it means that it'll take us away from everything that we know that's familiar and that we experience at times some wonderful things. Good pasturage, quiet waters, death. Will take all of the familiar away. What will it be like? We really don't know. Afraid? Yes. Only a fool who's not aware of his sin and sinfulness is not going to be afraid any more than a soldier who enters into battle and says, I'm not afraid. I'm scared to death. I'm afraid. I am weak. But the Word of God answers. And it doesn't deny any of that reality. We mustn't bluster. Mustn't puff ourselves up. No, that's real. That shadow, death, and fear, and the evil. But we have to learn that from outside of us, there is the ability of sheep, even weak and helpless sheep, to be able to say, I will fear no evil. Why? Why do we not need to fear the fearful shadows? Well, that becomes obvious to us when the light of God's Word shines. And the light of God's Word shines in particularly two ways. The first way is this. The light of the Word tells us that the shepherd we have went through the valley before us. And this shepherd didn't just go into the shadow of death. This shepherd went into death itself. He took and embraced the punishment of sin, death. He endured the reality of what our sins earned us. Not him. The shepherd walked before us. So as we, the sheep, with our little hooves, walk into this valley, we can look ahead and see the footprints of our shepherd. We're in the shadow, just the shadow. He tasted the reality. He tasted death. And that's why the cross was so dark for 3 hours. Separated from any distraction, he went into the darkness that the catechism calls the hellish agonies, the agonies of hell. And hell is God's wrath. He went through that. He entered into it. And when he, at the very end of those 3 hours, cried out, having finished the fullness of that wrath, had the right to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The light came, the sun returned, and it shone. Darkness, shadow gone. And the brightness of God's light, the light of his countenance, shone on Christ. And that's why very shortly after that he said, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He conquered that death. And the sun was shining. Even though in that shining sun, he commended his spirit to the Father, he gave up his spirit. He died. Nevertheless, he went into death and conquered it. The sun shone even when he breathed his last. The light of the Word of God gives us that light to be able to see there's a footprint that goes before us. Second, when mom or dad shuts out the light and closes the door, it's really dark at first, right? And if you don't right away close your eyes, but you keep them open and you kind of keep looking, well, maybe it's not quite so dark as your first thought, because your eyes adjust and you begin to see certain things. There's my dress or my pants that I just took off and threw on the floor. And there's still my shoes. And there's the dresser. So we can begin to see a little bit. So the second thing that the light of the Word God tells us is not only that ahead of us are the footprints, but that when we look around, right there with us is the shepherd. Sometimes if we're not in a bedroom by ourselves, maybe it's a double bed that two of us have to sleep on, or some twin beds, or a bunk bed, our eyes adjust and we realize we're not alone. We've got a sibling with us. Well, here, when we reflect on the light of the Word of God, we find out that he not only went ahead of us, but he is still with us. Now, this is so familiar, but it's so precious. The nature of the relationship that our elder brother has with us is a relationship where we don't quibble and fight and argue and wrestle with him. He never does that with us. He is always there to assure us that the nature of his relationship is that he will be with us and he will never be away from us. He'll never leave us. The nature of this relationship that he has with us is that we have to listen to what he said to his disciples when they knew that he was going to go away. And he reminded them, I must, but I will come back and send my comforter. The nature of my relationship with you after I leave you is that my spirit is going to dwell inside of you, and he'll provide comfort for you that's far greater than just my presence next to you. I'm going to be within you. I'm going to be something you carry with you wherever you go. Maybe you got to go to the bathroom and you shut the door and you're all by yourself. No, the nature of our relationship or his relationship with us is that we're never, never alone. Even if we are in that bedroom all by ourselves, wherever we go, when we feel the most lonely, sometimes when we're in a crowd and we, as if it were, are above and we're looking down on ourselves in this crowd, we feel so alone. His assurance, the light of his word is, I am within you. I've never left you. You may think that you've wandered away, but I am right here with you. In every situation, in every dark trial, in every disappointment, in every distressing dilemma, constantly loved, constantly cared for by the good shepherd. Nothing, nothing can separate us from his love. That love is always with you. You may have a love relationship. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's not quite as good as it is at other times. Sometimes you hear anger in their voice. Sometimes you discern a lack of respect in their face. He says, my relationship with you is nobody, including you, can separate yourself from my love. He's with us, and that presence with us shows us, here's the next point, next part of this point, he shows us the path through the valley to heaven. He shows us that we walk through, notice, not into the valley. The valley's not a dead end, no way out. He shows us that even though it's dark and we might not see the way, just like in the Red Sea at night, the light way back behind them, they couldn't see their way through all the way. They couldn't see the other end of the Red Sea. They trembled and shook. But God is saying to them, I will take my way and you through this valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're going to go through it to the high pasture. We're not going to stay in it. Death is not an end. It's the beginning. You're going to go graduate this year? From 8th or 12th or from college. You know what they call the exercises? They don't call them the ending exercises. They call them the commencement. This is the beginning of a new thing. We're going to go through. Death is the door that brings us to real life. The difficulties of traveling through the valleys are exactly the occasions that God gives to us to dive into His Word. Our doubts and our fears, our trembling, is what occasions us to hear the shepherd say, "Well, will you look at me? Will you stop looking at yourselves? Will you quit looking just around you at those enemies? Will you look at me?" Now, we can't see Jesus, but we can. And he shows us this terribly frightening experience of a death of an infant is precisely the opportunity for us to go into the Word and to find the pasture and the sweet waters. It hurts. It doesn't take away the pain. But He comforts. He shows us that He still is guiding. He still is sustaining. He is ever present. And that's why we can say, sometimes we got to quote this in order to put the words on our own lips and into our own mind, "I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. None." Not because the evil's gone, but because I know the shepherd's present. I know His love. I'm still in the valley. But it's how I respond to the presence of evil by saying, now this may seem very contradictory, but this is the way we have to say it. I have every reason to face my fears without fear. I have every reason to face my fears without fear. Reason? Thou art with me. How is God with us when we walk through the valley? Sometimes it's so dark. And the shepherd seems so far away. That's when the psalmist has us say, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Rod, staff. Likely not two different instruments, but the same, looked at from two different perspectives. A rod represented authority. When God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Moses is standing there as a shepherd before the burning bush, and he says, "What shall I tell Israel? What shall I tell Pharaoh? I have no authority." God says, "What's in your hand? Your rod. You show that to Israel. You show that to Pharaoh." That rod is a symbol of the authority that I have given to you. That's my authority. And when a parent uses a rod, we only think about a stick. Maybe a wooden spoon or whatever.
But the word rod is used in the scripture to represent authority, God's authority, given to the head of the home to be responsible for the nurturing and bringing up of us in the fear of the Lord. So that rod is a symbol of his authority. At the same time, that rod and staff were used by the shepherd to protect and to defend himself. If he would stand in the way of a predator, a lion or a bear in the case of David, he would use that rod and staff to defend himself and to defend his sheep. That portrayed his strength. When a sheep would be going astray, then that rod would be an extension of the arm of the shepherd to tap the sheep on the shoulder, because usually the sheep's head was so low to the ground because he was just taking care of filling his own belly, and he wasn't sure where he was wandering and really didn't care where he was wandering. He just wanted his grass. He wanted to fill his belly. So the shepherd would take and tap the shoulder of the sheep with his rod to bring it back into the fold or with the other sheep or away from danger. The rod is called the staff because in a familiar way you know that the rod would not be just a straight stick but would have a hook on the end. Now they make them out of metal, call them shepherd's hook, and we hang plants for them. But that hook on the end would be made in such a way that the shepherd would be able to put it around the neck of a sheep and draw him to himself. Sometimes the sheep would fall down way low or in a narrow crevice. The shepherd wouldn't be able to get down there himself. With his rod or staff, he would go reach way down, hook it around the neck of the sheep, and bring it up. Sometimes that sheep would run. He would then reach out with that staff and bring it around the neck. That hook would draw the more timid sheep closer to the shepherd. Sometimes in the dark, that shepherd would simply lay his staff on the back of the sheep. And it would be like the hand of a master on a dog or on a child. I'm right here. Early Friday morning, when they had to put some intravenous into the head of Isaiah, Ben made the observation, "Now I can't touch his head to assure him. There's no place where I can touch him." Just to touch, just to reassure. Sometimes it's an elbow. I'm right next to you. Sometimes it's a hand in hand. The shepherd's staff was an extension of his hand to show, I'm right here. Maybe I'm behind you and you can't see me. Maybe I'm on the other side of other sheep, but I'm right here. I haven't left you. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're taught in the light of His Word, is ever present within and next to every one of His sheep, His chosen children. Even when He needs to get our attention, and sometimes His knock is just a gentle little knock, and sometimes He really gets it.
Sometimes he only wants to let one know. Sometimes he wants to let all of us know. But he lets us know, I haven't left you. I'm here to care. I will provide. I am all that you need. I am all you need. Now quote the first verse. I am all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no want, no lack, no need. I have him. He is with me. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He can calm. He can encourage. He is with me. Now, we already said it. It's not a rod and a staff. It's thy rod and thy staff, making us not look at the rod or the staff, but making us look at the shepherd, the one who holds the rod and staff. If all we see is the rod and staff, then we're going to be afraid. But if we see who holds the rod, who's using the rod, who brought this to pass, who gave and who takes, who is he? He's the one from whom nothing can separate us. Nothing. Not life or death. Things present or things to come. Height or depth. Angels or principalities or powers. Nothing can separate us from him. You see, if we believed that that touch of that rod or staff was anything but love, we'd be afraid. Look past the rod. Look at the hand. Look at the shepherd. Look past the disease. Look past the bacteria. Look past the infection. Look past the cancer. Look past the enemy. See the shepherd. And see how much he cares. When we say thy rod and thy staff, we are extremely conscious of the fact of our natures. We need that comfort because of our natures. If it was not for his rod or staff, we would wander. If he didn't stop us the first day of every week and say, come and listen to me, we would wander. If he didn't get our attention with a gentle knock or with a pound, we would wander. That's our nature. But we're taught we've got a shepherd. And that shepherd is going to bring us through the valley. Maybe 165 days. It may be 80 years. Regardless of the length, it's always extremely small. It's just a pinprick in his eternal life. And that eternal life is as eternal as his love. And he says, we're going to get through it because I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to take you to Zion. I'm going to give you the experience, not of something that's really wonderful for you, but I'm going to give you the experience of something that's very wonderful for me. I'm going to give you to be able to see me and my glory. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Our Father, we can't thank Thee enough for that relationship, Father. So we, Thy children, the sheep of Thy pasture, come to Thee, great shepherd of Thy sheep. And we thank Thee for the light of Thy Word. Thank Thee for its truth, for its help, for its light. Be with us. Bless us. Teach us. Comfort us. For Jesus' sake, amen.